If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
It is my real treat to have on the phone from Iowa. I rarely have people on the phone from Iowa, but Bob Wolf is on the phone from Iowa. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited by this book. Bob Wright, you wrote the introduction to this thing, did you not?
Yes.
Good, because you're so self-effacing about your own writing. Before we get to that, when did you write for the Tribune?
Oh, gosh. We got married. My Bonnie and I got married in 88, so it would have been 86, 87.
What were you doing? What kind of stuff? I should have looked it up. I should make a collection about Wolf's writing for the Tribune. What were you writing for the paper?
I was doing various features.
Yeah.
And then I did a family column. What was it called? A Family Fair. Things for the family to do on weekends.
How fun. That's when the Tribune was, 500 pages on Fridays. And when and how did you meet Bonnie? I know I've heard this story a million times, but I have the feeling that the listeners have never heard this story. How'd you meet Bonnie?
Okay. I went to the Green Mill one night when Howard Levy was playing because I wanted to ask Howard to write music for a play on George Pullman that I was writing. And he asked me if I would like to meet Bonnie Kolak. I'd seen her in the play at Remains Theater, but I'd never heard her sing, really.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, sure, yeah. And so we talked, and I told her I wanted to talk to her, but I found out that she wrote lyrics and music. I said I wanted to talk to her about about writing songs to be sung.
Sure.
And so, yeah, that's how we got together.
Well, you're one of my favorite couples on the face of this planet. And you switch from writing about hey you family in Des Plaines, go to the beach for this. This is such an incredible project. I'll read what is written on the back here. It says here, Robert Wolf offers a self-portrait of the American Southwest written by Native Americans, rural Hispanics, ranchers, cowboys, and cowgirls, men and women from big cities to small towns. Many of these stories portray vanishing regional cultures that gave America many of its most iconic figures. Like Walt Whitman, Wolf hears America singing, and he wants us all to listen. When did you start doing this, Bob? I mean, it involves sort of, I don't want to call them seminars, but writing gatherings?
Workshops.
Workshops. And you would let people know, hey, I'm in town, I'm having a writing workshop, and many of the people wouldn't have known what that was. And you would start the workshop, and you would seduce people into telling stories, wouldn't you? Is that basically, because most people don't think of themselves as storytellers. Maybe there's an oral tradition of it, of course.
Yeah. But this was self-selective. In other words, when I go to a town and I get a sponsor, and this, in the case of Santa Fe, for instance, where this project started off in 2006, I went to one of the senior centers,
mm-hmm.
and they loved the idea. I said I wanted to collect stories from northern New Mexico, and they sent out the word. I did some radio interviews, and there may have been a piece in the New Mexican, their newspaper, but word went out through the center, and we had a very large gathering that first time. Close to 20 people showed up.
Wow.
At that workshop.
Yeah.
And they loved it. And they wanted to tell their stories because the culture was disappearing at that time.
Yeah, see, I think there was an did you find, you must have found, because I found it here in small pockets in Chicago. Many people must have felt an urgency to to tell their stories because, as you said, there was fear that the stories were vanishing.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a big part of it, yes. And we got quite a variety of stories. The ones that sort of stay in my mind, or some of the ones that stay in my mind, are those which told of a way of life in the agricultural mountain villages.
Mm-hmm.
And the villages still exist, but they're no longer filled with self-sustaining farm families. And,
yeah.
A lot of Anglos have moved in there. So the whole culture has changed. There's one story in there that I particularly like. It's more of an essay, really, and it's about this woman writes about how her parents, so many years ago, taught them their religion, their history, their manners, their morals, around the kitchen table, around their dining table.
Mm.
That meant a lot to me. I mean, there was a wholeness to the Hispanic culture in those days.
Sure.
So the religion was the thing that bound them together, but that was a huge and very positive influence on them.
You must have gotten, Bob, when you first started doing this, you obviously, you're a smart, worldly guy. You obviously were expecting a certain something. This must have, just in reading what's in this remarkable book, Coyotes and Stars, you must have gotten much more than you bargained for, didn't you?
Well, I got a very wide variety of stories. I mean, I had an invitation once the first book from the Santa Fe Workshop was published, and it won a Heritage Preservation Award from the state of New Mexico.
Mm.
And based on that, then a man who was working for the Pueblo of Pewaukee, I guess, talked the governor into having me come there and run a seminar, which I did.
Wow.
In a 5-day workshop, and got some very good stories, some of which are in the book.
Sure. And did you start the press, Free River Press, before this, or did you start it because of this?
Oh, no. No, the press grew out of a writing workshop I was running for the homeless in Nashville, Tennessee.
Wow.
That goes back to 1991.
Wow.
And, I ran it at a men's shelter there.
Mm.
And it was a workshop. Initially, I was hired by the Nashville Board of Education to teach GED to the men.
Yeah.
But these guys had GEDs. They had high school diplomas. Some of them had college. Remember, one guy had a master's, so there was no point in doing GED. And my boss gave me leave to do whatever I felt was appropriate. And so I started asking them how they became homeless and got them writing about it. And eventually, the workshop grew into a mix of homeless and non-homeless people.
Yeah.
The homeless gave me enough material to publish 6 books.
Oh.
And then so when Bonnie and I moved in 91 up to Iowa, then I began working with Iowa farmers and getting them to tell their stories. And I must say that it was Bonnie's idea to publish the stories. And
good for her.
Came up with an agent. Yeah.
What were you doing? If not publishing them, what were you doing? You were just cataloging them then?
Yeah, yes, just doing that. Huh. And I suddenly it became clear that what we had to do was to let people in the cities and elsewhere know that the people on the streets were living human, flesh and blood.
Yes.
So I was picking the strongest personalities that I could get in publishing single-authored chapbooks.
Mm.
Yeah. All Things Considered did a story on that workshop, and that sort of got things going.
Mm.
After that, we moved up to Iowa, and I got farmers writing. The purpose there was to let people know what was happening to the food supply.
Yeah.
And what was happening to agriculture. So we did 3 books written by the farmers, and Morning Edition and CBS Sunday Morning came out and did stories.
Yeah, I remember. I just think that, you know, one of the things, I'm not going to say you're on a mission, Bob, but one of the things about what you've been doing for the past few decades is you really have been giving voice to people who don't, you know, the whole Walt Whitman, Hear America Singing thing. You really are doing that, and it's been. Do you get it? It must have been. It's rewarding for me, Bob, to just read the books, and in a sense, I'm meeting these people. I really feel strongly that way. Do you get a sense? This must be so meaningful for you.
Oh yeah, I mean it's a vocation.
Yeah,
it's a calling, and. I say what I want to do is create a collective American autobiography written by everyday people.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, and record the unheard voices of America.
Yeah, what I wrote in somewhere along the lines, it's on the back of the book, I wrote, Robert Wolf gives us on these pages a powerful and enlightening and even hopeful portrait of an America so often overlooked as it wildly spins. Through his writing workshops, he has nurtured distinctive voices that tell compelling, touching, humorous, and meaningful stories. Dive into this remarkable book. How is this new edition? This new edition is the work is made over 12 years, hasn't it, Bob? It's 12 years.
Yes. Yeah, it's a compilation of two previously published books, plus a great deal more unpublished stories. And we want to say that it contains not only stories by the Hispanics and Native Americans, but it's got stories by the cowboys,
yeah,
and cowgirls, and the ranchers. And one of the interesting workshops I did was in a ranch house kitchen, around the kitchen table.
Wow. Yeah. I'm just thumbing through this remarkable book, edited by Robert Wolf, and by editing, meaning that he has gathered people. He is, Bob, when you have these writing workshops, I have to imagine that many people are reluctant because they've never done it to put their story on a page. Is that true?
But for the most part, when the host organization puts out the word, you're going to get people who really want to tell their story.
Right.
So in very few times do I have to more or less convince them. But I do tell them towards the beginning of the workshop is that if you can tell a story, then you can write it.
Yeah.
And I tell them to write their story as closely as they can to the way they told it, because one of the early parts of the workshop is to have everyone take turns around the table telling the story that they want to write.
Wow. I got to come to one of these. That must be some experience. That must. I'm serious. That really must be some experience. And of course, you know, they wouldn't like me. What if you introduced me as just a friend of yours? They'd be okay with me. They'd be okay with me. Yeah, right.
No, it is a bonding experience.
Oh, I can imagine.
We take time. We start off by really getting to know a bit about each other at the very beginning, at the outset.
Uh-huh.
And we then read some stories that I want to introduced as now I'm using a lot of stories that have been written in pre-River Press Workshop,
uh-huh,
so they're not intimidated by
sure
it. And we talk about what made it work, and then we do the storytelling, but then they write for an hour or so, then they read back and we comment on one another's work, and it's not negative stuff, it's all things they want to know more about. Joe wants to ask Sally, you know,
yeah,
about the story, so they can expand it. And so on. So all through that, there's a lot of trust that is built, and friendships come out of these workshops, too. I have stayed in touch with many of the writers for years afterwards. That's true.
Have any of them, you know, there's something, as you well know as a writer, and I know, too, that there's something empowering, I think, about seeing your story in black and white, in print. I mean, it can be very empowering. And have any people continued this storytelling on the page kind of activity? Yeah.
Yeah, some of them actually went on to do some professional writing, but you know, newspaper work.
Yeah,
for example, and yes, so many of them do continue to write. Yes.
Wow! Yeah. Wow! Now, who is you? You have this book is dedicated in the memory of Clyde Shepard, Cowboy. Who was Clyde Shepard?
Clyde Shepard. I'll give a little backstory here. Bonnie and I. I used to travel, and she used to travel with me quite a few times back and forth to Santa Fe. And there was a cafe out in Mira Vista, which is now just a ghost town. We used to stop at this cafe, and as we were leaving one day, Bonnie called my attention to a flyer that was taped to the door, and it said, "Due to old age, the annual Matador Cowboy Reunion is canceled," signed Clyde Shepard, and it gave his address and phone number. And Bonnie said, you've got to write this information down.
Yeah.
So I did.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't call him for a year or two. I just thought, well, hell, he's not going to want to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who am I? But anyway, when I did call him, it was as though I'd known him all my life. And he invited me to come out and stay with him on my next trip to Santa Fe. So I did. So over the next few years, I would stop, and he was in Channing, Texas, which is in the Panhandle, and I would stop there and stay a few days with him, go to Santa Fe, and then on the way back to Iowa, I would again stay with Clyde.
Wow.
And this went on for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, and great guy. He'd been a rancher as well as, you know, and had cowboyed all his life. He was on a walker because of injury.
Yeah,
due to cowboying. And so he was a huge, just a wonderful old time Western guy, just a wonderful human being. Yeah.
Well, it sounds not just on the page. I mean, the books, the work you've done, in sort of not teaching these people to write stories so much as prompting them to put stories on the page, has enriched my life. I mean, this has got to have just so enriched your life, and maybe even, Bob Wolf, your understanding of America. Am I making too much of this? Am I romanticizing?
No, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And with this book, for example, and it holds for a lot of the other books too, is we're recording, or we have recorded, and they are writing stories of an America that now has vanished, as I said.
Yeah.
And as a neighbor of mine pointed out, these are stories about how people once lived in community, which gave them a role and a purpose. And we don't have that now.
Yeah.
We don't have it.
Wow.
I don't see it.
No, you're still going out. I mean, where is this? Is it in the works? This big city stories from New York and Chicago.
Yes, I'm still collecting stories, and you've written one for that book. I don't know. You probably forgot about that.
I did. I did.
Yeah.
Is it any good? Is it any good?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, very good. Yeah. Yeah.
Does it feature an Osgood? Does it feature an Osgood photo? Because most of what I write has a Charlie photo with it. I wouldn't do it otherwise.
Okay. Well, whatever you want, we'll do it.
No, stop. You got Bonnie's beautiful artwork in here. Not enough of it, but there's some beautiful artwork in here. And she has been. I mean, I gotta. She's been unbelievably supportive. I mean, she's been a partner in this whole thing with you, hasn't she?
She sure has. In fact, she did all the driving when we went on a book tour a few weeks ago. We went on a 2-week tour to Texas and New Mexico. She didn't want me to drive. I have macular degeneration. And she's a real trooper. She's been extremely supportive for 35 years now.
Yeah, she's quite a woman, and you're quite a guy. I love this book, Bob. You know how much I've loved every iteration of this book, and I'm so glad they keep coming. I looked back at one thing I wrote about it, pushing 30 years ago, but I wrote Bob's theory that anyone who can tell a story can write one. In the Tribune, I put this little bit of a story by a farmer named Richard Sandry, and it reads, quote, "We finally get home, and just as we come into the house, the rain begins to fall. Shortly, the full fury of the storm is upon us. As I watch, looking out through the windows, I think of how the days of my life go, how the clouds on the horizon of my sunrises sometimes, later in the day, turn into the black clouds of fear, of despair, of anger, of uncertainty, and of depression." That is literally like poetry to me.
Yeah.
It really is. Bob, what's the easiest way for, can people go to Free Press? Yeah, go to freeriverpress.org to further explore the life and times of my friend Bob Wolf. Bob, I hope to see you soon. I'm hoping that Bob Wolf and I, who are the two leading cavemen of the internet, will be able to figure out how to get a picture of him in the Tribune next Sunday, so you can read about him and his book. We really are. I'm so inept at the internet. It kind of makes me happy that I don't know how to work the internet. Bob, great to talk to you. Give Bonnie a big hug for me and carry on. Come out with that next book about New York, stories of New York and Chicago. That ought to be a sensation, even though it does include something by me that I don't remember writing.